Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Number One Baseball's Off the Bat. I'm Jana, and joined this week by my lovely co-host, Jeff. I believe Eric is still on his way. We had a little bit of technical difficulties today, but Jeff, how you doing? Welcome back.
Doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'd be a whole lot better if Virginia apparently wasn't like the allergy hotbed of the world right now. I apologize in advance if I sound ridiculous because I do in my head, but I've been assured that I sound fairly normal to everybody else in the world. But my allergies are kicking my butt this week, and I feel like I'm going to die. So I just had to relocate to Virginia for work a couple of months ago, and they did not tell me about this. I might not have come otherwise. So bear with me, people. I possibly could die during this broadcast, but I think I'm going to try to make it.
please do, because I would have no idea what to do.
What? I think you'd be fine. I think you would be totally fine.
I'd probably go on a rant about how much the Marlins suck, the Red Sox suck, the Cardinals suck. I mean, geez.
Yeah, you know, it's possible that could happen. I, having known you for, I guess, over a decade now, have unfortunately been on the receiving end of several of those rants in life. So I can attest to you all that this is a very real and present danger that is coming towards us. So I'm going to do my best to hang in there and stay alive today. So we do have a pretty action-packed show, even with there not being, a ton of action in the streaking world today. If this is your first time here, welcome. We'll be gentle. But the premise of our show is we take a look at baseball each week, based off the streaks that are currently happening, and then we take a look at one from history that is, you know, as timely as we can make it. We got a pretty good one this week. So last week we had a whole bunch of oddities. This week I want to take a look at some of our usual things like win streaks, losing streaks, hit streaks, you know, our Edwin Diaz watch, but we'll get there. And then also just kind of take a look back at April. There was a lot of weird things that happened in April, so maybe not all streaks, but just some oddities, because we all know I'm a giant nerd and love a good, weird baseball stat. So hang in there with us. We got a lot of weird stuff here today, and I'm pretty hyped about it. First thing first, if you miss us during the week, you missed an episode, you just want to talk baseball, you can do that. We're around all week long, all over social media. NumberOneBaseball.com is our hub. We are on Twitter at NumberOneBaseball. That's with the numeric value 1. That's the digit 1 in the middle. We're on Instagram at Off the Bat, and we're on Facebook at Number One Baseball. We are everywhere that you want to be, so we're ready to talk baseball with you. And I want to hear what you have to think about some of these weird things this week, but let's take a look at the current win streak going on right now. And I'm looking at you, Miami Marlins. I wasn't sure that we would get to a point this season where we were talking about the Marlins in this capacity, but here we are, the beginning of May. Unfortunately, Eric's not here to gloat in this, but we did have some nice words from him earlier today in our group chat. But the Marlins on a 4-game win streak. Granted, that is very much at the Phillies' expense, and we'll talk about them in just a minute when we get to our losers portion of this show. But I mean, I know we've had some Marlins sightings throughout this show so far this season for some of the hit streaks that were going on, and granted, they were a little padded because they played a whole lot of extra inning games. But how are you feeling about this Marlins team looking a little hot right now? I know you love the Marlins.
I'm not feeling anything about them. I mean, we all have hot streaks. I mean, every once in a while, the Giants are going to win a game or in football or something, or even the Cowboys. But, I mean, this is an extremely weak team, and they are winning games against other extremely weak, call it basically. I mean, that's what we're seeing right now.
Hold on. Wow. You're going to call the Phillies an extremely weak team. Okay. That's a whole issue for another show. Don't think we've gone away from the Cole Hamels thing. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show. I don't think the Phillies are as bad as people think they are. Granted, the Marlins, maybe not the world's strongest team. Certainly not their pitching staff. But do I think this win streak, you know, is something we're still talking about next week? Probably not, but I think, you know, they did some good work this week against the Phillies, or this series against the Phillies. They played some good baseball.
I mean, everybody, you know, gets lucky every once in a while, I suppose. I mean, honestly, if you could point it to Washington right now, I mean, they're 14-16 in the NL East, and that's a team that's way underperforming. And we're talking about Miami, who is 2.5, 3.5 games behind them. I mean, they're just, yeah, okay, this is probably the most exciting part of the Marlins season for the Marlins fans. You guys can talk about Derek Jeter all you want. Hopefully he is as much of a GM as he was a captain.
And, like, a Derek Jeter fan of your life, like, I really thought you would be a little bit more excited about this. No,
I mean,
no, I was off base here.
No.
I was wildly off base. I will admit that.
I like Jeter, but I mean, if you became the GM of the Yankees, yeah, I would have stuck with you. But we're starting to talk about a team that beat us in the 2003 World Series, and they had no business beating us in the 2003 World Series. I mean,
so that's where this.
Okay,
from.
I'm holding a drum. I'm holding a grudge.
All right, so I get it now. No, it makes sense now. I didn't really think about it in that big picture capacity, and that was wrong of me. I understand now. So not only do we bring you streaks, but we also bring you therapy people, and we're bringing people together. So you do not think the Marlins are a real deal.
Nope. And the Phillies are definitely not.
Wow. All right. I don't think I have enough time to refute that statement just in this show. but that's okay. That's all right. I'm not gonna go off on this tangent. I'm not taking the bait here. We are, however, going to talk about the Phillies very briefly here because they are on the wrong side of the coin here, and that is the losing streak. Both the Phillies and the Dodgers had a healthy four-game skid. The Angels were right there with them last night, but they managed to pull out a win. They had a rough couple of days. Maybe that's because Ohtani wasn't playing. I don't know. He's back in the lineup. They're winning games again. Could be something. Could be nothing. Again, I don't think the Phillies are still going to be on this skid next week. I have a lot more faith in them than apparently you do, which is fine. That's fine. The Dodgers, however, may be a little bit more concerning. If you follow us on the Twitter account, you saw me tweeting out our condolences to our good friend of the streak, friend of the show, Corey Seager, going on the DL, having Tommy John surgery. Things are not looking great out there. That's a problem. That is not a good thing for the Dodgers. I think their name may pop up on the losing streak a little bit more than we anticipate. I'm a little bit concerned for them. I will say that. The Phillies are not. I think they're gonna be just fine. They're gonna exceed expectations, and you guys are all gonna come back at the end of the season and be like, that channel might have been onto something. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you now. Mark it down.
Nope.
That right there, people, is what true friendship sounds like.
I'm just going to skip right past it.
Nope. All right. So let's talk about somebody I am actually worried about, and that's the Cincinnati Reds. Now, let's take off my Cardinals hat here. This is not as a Cardinals fan gloating. This is as a baseball fan a little bit concerned. Now, the Reds are off to one of the worst historical starts in April at a robust 7-23. They've already fired their manager. They've already fired their pitching coach. And they have nothing going. Joey Votto just hit his first home run of the season. Obviously, kind of a shell of what he was. Joey Votto, love you. Would be very happy with you on the Cardinals or several other teams. But he and Homer Bailey cannot keep the entire franchise afloat, despite the fact that they're both combined, I think, making $45 million this year, which is almost half of the team's payroll. That's neither here nor there. The fact is that they are not even putting out something close to competitive on the field right now. If you look at their pitching staff versus pretty much any other pitching staff in the league, you've got a big problem. And then I love me some Scooter Jeanette. We love him for our Beat the Streak picks, but it's just not enough to have a scrappy second baseman going and hitting bombs and Joey Votto, you know, hitting a lot of singles. That is not going to win you games, and I'm getting worried. How do you feel about the Reds so far?
No, I mean, there's nothing about the lineup that gets me excited except for Joey Votto. I mean, if you're not protecting him, you got quality at bat.
So much.
Yeah, I mean, he's great, but what are you going to do, bat him second, third, and right in front of Votto?
I will hit him first, second, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and let Joey Votto hit third. I'll let him bat eight times. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm happy with that.
I mean, I would love to. If we could have people bat eight times in one, you know, one go around, like that. There you go. There's a good show to talk about. Like, who do I want to really bat?
Astronomical stats.
It'd be great. It'd be probably more fun to watch, but especially compared to this Reds team. But Votto is, I mean, he is the guy that's supposed to carry the team, and he's got nobody around him. So if I am any pitcher, I'm going in there and like, okay, yeah, I'll throw right at everybody else in the lineup, and then I'm just going to pitch around him and make him chase. I mean, he's still batting .269 for the year, but geez Louise. You can't expect this is a team sport. And, I mean, individual performance is important. You're just not going to get that from one person out of nine that's going to be able to carry the team with home runs. It's just not going to happen.
It's making me a little sad as a baseball fan because, like, on paper, they should not be this bad. Like, these players individually, not terrible pieces, but there are too many people who are role players on this team and guys who should be maybe coming off the bench on an off day or platooning. These are not necessarily guys that need to be your everyday starters at every one of these positions. One or two of them in the lineup is fine, but like six is a problem. And at that point, it's not just the manager. I mean, nobody could go out there. Tony La Russa can't go out there. Joe Torre can't go out there. Anybody. Look at any. Even Ozzie Guillen could not take that pitching staff and this team as a whole right now and get an above 500 team out of it. Even a 500.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. No, and I think this is the problem with baseball, where you got a team that's way underperforming. We're a month into the season, and we're going to pull the trigger and fire the coach, fire the world, fire the GM, fire the ownership, whatever it takes. To turn this team around. But, I mean, you got players like Billy Hamilton, who's batting .187. He's got 5 stolen bases on the year, and he's only scored, you know, 18 runs, which is tied for the second on this team. And, I mean, that's a player that you got him on base. All of a sudden, Joey Votto is not what the pitcher's thinking about. He's thinking about the person on the base. And, you know, the first, you know, and so if that's not clicking, that has nothing to do with the coach. It has nothing to do with the pitching staff. That entirely has to do with a player that is underperforming, underprepared, or maybe, like all of us are thinking, way overvalued as a player or as a fantasy player, whatever it takes.
Well, I mean, you look at a guy like Billy Hamilton or like a Devin Marasco, guys that were these can't-miss prospects and did great things in the minor leagues, and then they came up and it maybe just didn't quite translate. You know, as I said, that Marasco's getting a hit. But still, they sort of didn't live up to the hype or what was expected of them. And, like, that's fine, except those are the two guys that seemingly this rebuild was sort of around. And now the whole thing's kind of gone up in smoke. That's the problem.
It's a tough
to scouting. It goes to everything. I mean, every part of this Reds organization, I feel like right now, needs maybe a facelift, needs a little revamp. It's maybe like refocus.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Like, what was it, a couple of years ago, you had Chapman, you had Votto, you had a bunch of players that anybody can contribute. Yeah. You packed stadium. Am I going to show up just to watch Votto play? It's not quite there. The energy behind the ball club is not there.
Yes, that's a problem. And unfortunately, I think the Reds might be on some of these streaks, but not for the reasons they want to be. So we'll see how their season goes. Hopefully May's better than April. It can't get too much worse. So they got that going for them.
It could be the Marlins.
Listen, the Marlins just – I get it now. It's all from this World Series. It all makes so much sense. But let's talk about happier things. Hit streaks. Again, it's been a tough week for hit streaks and really for win streaks. I mean, it was kind of a mediocre week this week for stats. And, you know, as a stat nerd, that made my heart a little sad. But we still have some going. JT Realmuto up to 11 hits. another one last this afternoon, I believe. Wilson Ramos back from a couple days off of injury, sitting pretty at 10, and old Brock Holt on the DL is stuck at 9. So, you know, we don't have any 17 bangers going on right now. That's okay. We'll get there. Maybe by next week we'll have something to write home about, but maybe not the names I would have expected on this list. How are you feeling about it?
I mean, there's nobody on this list that's going to even get close to DiMaggio's record, but, you know, I got to say something about Brock Holt. He's a scrappy player, and I like his style. And I personally think the Red Sox
are... That's something big of you to say as a Yankees fan.
Jesus, like, I have to go see a therapist tomorrow just to talk about it again. But, I mean, Brock Holt, he's a scrappy player. And you got people like Jackie Bradley Jr. right now batting under 200. Like, you got to start thinking about somebody like, I mean, I know he's injured, but, you know, you got to put him more in the lineup more often, give him more looks, because every time he gets on the field, he performs. I hate it.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because I really like watching him play. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but I think his name's going to keep popping up here. I hope he gets healthy fast so that we can continue this streak. Let's do our weekly Edwin Diaz check-in. Still perfect. 11 for 11 saves. He's my favorite thing about the Mariners right now. He might be my favorite thing about West Coast baseball right now. That's saying something.
He's pretty much the only thing about the Mariners to be favored about right now.
I mean, they're all right. You were just such a grumpy Gus today. You just don't like anything except Brock Holt. So, you know what? That's not true. I see Brock Holt is our silver lining today. In other exciting news, I would like to revisit a streak we had spoken about two episodes ago, and that is old Chris Tillman, who was really in the midst of a real tough one, the longest active
hallelujah, streak man.
Starters between wins. He, at that point, was at 21. It did go to 22 games, but our nation's agony, our world's agony, has finally, that load has been lifted, that weight is off our shoulders. Chris Tillman picked up the W this week, and he is back in the good graces of the pitching gods. He might get to keep a spot in the rotation. I don't know. Things could get wild. I'm just excited about Chris Tillman because that made me extremely sad.
I'm telling you right now, the next pitcher to pitch a perfect game is going to be Chris Tillman.
Oh, that would make my heart happy. The only way that can get better is like...
I think a couple weeks ago we were talking about stories and whatever happened. Chris Tillman, like, you go 2 years without a win. Talk about the baseball gods. Like, they are going to shine on him. Aphrodite's going to come down. He's going to do everything they can to make sure this guy has a perfect game. I'm telling you right now, perfect game. Chris Tillman.
You know what? When it happens, and I like your conviction in this, we're going to point people back to this episode and be like, listen, Baseball Nostradamus was here today, and he told you, and you guys didn't pick him up on your fantasy teams because you thought it was a load of crap, and you know what? You snooze, you lose. So
yeah, make sure you follow me on fantasy, because yesterday I forgot to put Justin Verlander on my starting pitcher category, and goes 8 strong, no runs, 14 strikeouts. Yeah, it was great.
It's okay. I accidentally had Mookie Betts bench today. You know what Mookie Betts did today? Everything. So,
three home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tough one. Tough one to swallow. But, you know, it's fine.
Is that in our fantasy league?
I don't think it was. I have 11 fantasy baseball teams, which I know is disgusting. But I do not think it was in our show league.
Well, I just want to thank you for not, like, bragging about the fact that you kicked my rear end last week.
I kept it real quiet. I kept it super respectable, especially because you weren't there to defend yourself. But it's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Yeah. I'm still feeling the pain.
Because unlike you, who has spent the last 20 minutes attacking me, I've been nothing but nice. I can't say I'm always the bigger person, but today it feels good. I also can't breathe, so, like, you know, maybe that's slowing down my roll here. But let's take a look at, before my possible allergy-related death, thank you, Virginia, you might be for lovers, but you're clearly not for people with allergies. Let's take a look at April. Some fun things happened. that really, really just brought me a lot of joy. Let's take a look at a couple of the weird ones. Some streaks, some not. But I want to start with one that is actually a streak. The Diamondbacks opened the season with 9 consecutive series wins. Now, when you think about that statement alone, it does not sound that impressive, but actually really is. In that run, they were also 5-1 against the Dodgers team, which, I mean, granted, before the injury bug hit, really were predicted to sweep that division pretty handily. But they are the second National League team to do that since the 1907 Cubs. The last team that did that, won their first 9 series, was the 2001 Mariners, which I don't know if you guys remember, won about 1 million games, or 116, but it felt like 1 million games. They literally did not lose that season. So the Diamondbacks, who really none of us were talking about or gave a whole lot of props to, really doing big things so far, and I am liking it.
Makes one of us.
Okay, perfect.
I mean,
so you were just
it's so easy. It's so easy to look at
the
team that's winning, but
because here's the thing: your Yankees have never done it.
Well, that's okay because it's baseball. But we're talking about a team that is overperforming. They're over. You said they're what 6-1, 5-1 against the Dodgers. I think they actually got a couple more if you include the last couple of weeks, but. I mean, so they're overperforming. They're doing really, really well. And Dodgers are not doing so well. And so you get the combination of the two. And all of a sudden you got Arizona Diamondbacks leading the charge in the NL West. I mean, it's going to fizzle out.
When it comes to September and, like, we're in the dog days of this season and you're looking at the standings and the Dodgers can't win first place in this division because they dropped all these quote-unquote meaningless games in April that didn't really matter against a team that was really just overperforming, they still look the same in the record books, on the stat sheets, in the standings. Like, these are the games
that come back and haunt you later. They do, but we are not talking about a whole lot of games right now. And I mean, I think we can all agree there's no reason why Arizona should have the best record in baseball right now. There's absolutely no reason. And so it's
all
like Philadelphia last year. Didn't they overperform for April into May where they had the best record in baseball for a while? And then all of a sudden what happened? Boom, they dropped to the bottom and they lost like 35,000 straight games. So
that was a team that was full of rookies that really weren't ready to go 162 strong. And you know what? They're going to be better for it.
Arizona's got about
100 guys on the DL who, when they get healthy, are definitely going to be a factor in this team. So the fact that they're winning this many games when they're as beat up as they are, and like really their big offseason acquisition was Steven Souza Jr., who's not even playing right now, and really I think we're using the term big acquisition very loosely there. No offense, guy. You're on a lot of my fantasy teams. I respect it. I respect the hustle. But, like, I mean, it's not the same.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
just saying, the division itself is really tough. They're
making the most out of what they have when you look at, you know, our conversation about the Reds a little bit ago. Definitely making the least out of what they have.
Yeah, this is true. But when you got Colorado, San Francisco, and the Dodgers, all of them are in a
position
to strike.
Colorado's not going away. I know.
No, they're not. They are scrappy. I like what they're doing. So Arizona, I mean,
a lot of beards on that
off
team.
To an absolute hot start. There's no way they're going to keep this going for the rest of the year.
I hope they do. I'm pretty hyped about the NL West. Like, I wasn't really coming into the season, but like, I'm very all in on it now.
The NL West, the NL East, and the AL East are the three divisions that you want to watch. It's going to be fun.
Really? Ooh, okay. All right, I like it. Something else that's fun, for the first time ever, we have had more strikeouts than hits for the first weekend or month and change of the season, March and April. There's never been a month in the game's history where the strikeout total exceeded the total hits, but here we are. Pretty big margin. And granted, I mean, we've had more strikeouts, I think, over the last few years than we have historically ever. So that's one thing, but I think this is pretty telling about how advanced and how good the pitching in the game is right now. Even though we have some phenomenal hitters, the fact that there are more strikeouts than hits, kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you don't sound as excited about this.
I think it's great. No, I am really excited about this because I think this is what the game needs. If the pitching is there, then it goes back to strategy. And right now the game is all about shortening the pace of play and getting the game over within about 1.5 hours, and et cetera. But, I mean, it all comes down to pitching. I mean, the games that last longer are going to be the ones that the pitchers are struggling and you get multiple pitching changes, et cetera. What's exciting for me is the idea of a Nolan Ryan or a Roger Clemens-esque, like a dominating, you know, performance.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to necessarily see that in this day and age with Sabermetrix. But overall, I would say this too. I think everybody's just swinging for the fences.
That's true.
I mean,
that's super true.
I mean, there's no small ball. There's no strategy. I think it's like, oh, I got a curveball that's hanging up a little bit, so I'm going to do everything I can, put the strength behind me, and hit a three-run
bomb.
Just
to play devil's advocate, I'm pretty sure a game ended in extra innings last night on a bunt. Just throwing it out there.
That's fair. So maybe they were, you know, predicting
what we're
going to say.
I'm a proponent of small
tonight.
Ball. It would not surprise me if the universe did gang up on us, because that's how I feel every week when I do our show prep, and then everything changes the next day. But it's fine.
And you're a Cardinals fan and a Cowboys fan, so of course you're used to that.
Listen, we had a phenomenal draft, and the Cardinals are doing phenomenal right now. So things are good in my
horrible
world.
Draft.
Listen, well, that's for a whole other show. But let's talk about Bryce Harper. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been living in the D.C. area here for the last few months. Bryce Harper mania is a very real thing. So is the fickle fandom, but again, another issue for another time. But Bryce Harper did something that nobody has done before. 36 walks in the month of April, and he's only one player has done it more, and that's Barry Bonds. And the only reason Barry Bonds did it is because everybody was intentionally putting him on base. Bryce Harper, on the other hand, these are not intentional. These are full-blown, just he is working the strike zone, playing smart baseball, and getting on base by any means necessary, while also hitting a ton of dingers. So he's having himself quite the month of April and now into May. He's had one heck of a day today. But I'm impressed by this because Bryce Harper always has been very much a hothead. To me, maybe not the smartest baseball mind out there because he was a little too impulsive. And this shows some real maturity to me, and I like it.
You know, he's an interesting player. I mean, he strikes me as the kind of guy that could have the personality of Dustin Pedroia. This could do everything he can to get dirty, die for the ball, whether he can get there or not, you know, and just do what it takes to win. And then he's got the ego side of him. And then he's only happy when he's hitting the bombs. But to see him taking these walks, to see him being really, for lack of a better term, just picking his pitches.
And he's doing a hell of a job.
I think he's really coming to as an top level all star. Don't want to say this yet, but Hall of Fame caliber type player, he's got to get out of Washington if he really wants to have the career that he thinks he wants to have, and then we can all have the conversation whether or not this can turn into the next A-Rod, et cetera. But, I mean, whoever's going to land him after this year, when he's in his free agency year, is going to have somebody they can build a lineup around, they can build a brand around, drive ticket sales, and I truly believe by the end of this guy's career, four World Series, absolutely, that's going to happen.
Wow. Okay, big prediction. I like it. You're, really, really committing to things today. Granted, a lot of it is hatred, but you are committing to it, and I respect that.
Put it on the board.
There you go. Another fun fact, in the month of April, 14 no-hit or perfect game bids of at least six innings or more, which I'm pretty hyped about. There were 15 one-run games that ended with a 1-0 score. If you look at last year, all of 2017, 24 total perfect gamer no-hit bids that went past six innings, and 29 games that ended up being 1-0. So we are way ahead of the pace here. And to me, that's exciting. That's some fun baseball to watch. Granted,
it is.
Not everybody's into that. Everybody wants to see a home run derby, but that's not my cup of tea.
Every 5 minutes, I feel like I'm looking at my phone and, oh, this person has a no-hitter going into the sixth inning. This person has a perfect game going into the seventh inning.
I feel like it's making me a better baseball fan because it's making me watch a lot of games that I maybe wasn't necessarily penciling into my life. That, like, yeah, I got to watch this A's game tonight. You know, like, I might not have been planning on that, but then here I am. I get hooked. And, you know what? I think I'm becoming a better baseball fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think it's really fun to watch because at the end of the day, baseball fans or non-baseball fans want to see feats accomplished. And if you're getting those kind of alerts,
yeah,
I'm going to tune into baseball. And that's what you need.
Okay, I'm all in on it. Let's take a look, since I know I've taken us a little off track tonight, and that's fine. So we want a little extra. You guys get some bonus material here tonight. So props to you. Thanks for hanging in with us. Let's take a look at our historical streak for this week, which we have kind of foreshadowed, not ominously so, but foreshadowed a few times in the show. So we talked a little bit about Billy Hamilton, how, you know, his big claim to fame is all the base stealing he did down in the minors. Again, didn't quite translate, but just this week was the 27th anniversary of Ricky Henderson becoming the all-time career stolen base leader. So I thought, how can I segue this into a great streak? Because that's an awesome record, but does not suit my purposes here. So we're going to take a look at the consecutive stolen bases without getting caught streak, which was higher than I anticipated when I went in. Because a lot of times I go into these streaks, I don't know what they are. I just think, man, this would be cool, and I start doing a lot of research. But this one off the top of my head, I knew Ichiro had done it a bunch, and I figured I'd see more names on this list that actually weren't. But Vince Coleman actually leads the pack here, 50 total steals without getting caught. And Ichiro in his rookie year, I believe, went 45, which both very impressive feats. Do you think this is something that could be broken today? Like, if you look at a guy
absolutely
like a Billy Hamilton out there.
Yeah, no,
really?
I think absolutely. I mean, it's a specialty sport, and I think the thing with the Billy Hamilton right now, what we were talking about earlier about how the Red Sox just need some spark or some energy or something, whatever, to get them going, they might be pressing
yeah
a little bit. But you get a player that is fast, has a good read on the pitcher, and maybe even some saber
mm-hmm
matrix associated with it about who's best to steal off of, who's got a good read, lefty, righty, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's very, very likely that this is on the low end of what will be the record,
really?
You know, long term.
Okay.
I really do.
I totally see this completely differently. And really, I'm usually the one advocating that
shocked
any kind of crazy record is going to be broken. Yeah, I'm on the other side on this one. And I really thought that this would be not that interesting to talk about with you and I, because I thought we'd be eye to eye on this. But I'm hyped that we're not. I think this is something that does not get broken anytime soon. I think that the way the game's being played, how good catchers are at catching guys, unless, I mean, granted, we talked about the second week of the season, the Mets were awful at catching anybody trying to steal base. So if you want to do it, you do it against the Mets. They can't do it to save their life. But, I mean, there are a lot of Hall of Fame talents behind home plate right now. There are some phenomenal catchers in this league right now, and a lot of pitchers that have pretty good pickoff moves. I just think the quality of player right now, not that no disrespect to Vince Coleman or Ichiro, who also became the oldest player to start in the outfield on opening day this year. Another little fact from April for you. But I don't think anyone's going to get there. They might get close. And, like, I think Billy Hamilton is the type that would do it. But I don't see it happening. I just think that video and, I mean, even in college today, your first base coach is standing at first base with a stopwatch, timing the pitcher's movement, relaying it in real time to the runner on first base. And pitchers know that, catchers know that, and still guys aren't successfully, you know, making big runs at this. I don't think it's gonna happen. I like that you
but
do that. I want it to happen. I just don't know if I can justify it.
Yeah, no, I get that. But there's a lot of instinct associated with stealing bases and running the base pass in general. And so you can have a time watch, and how much is that going to dictate what I'm going to do? I'm running in second, and I see a guy just barely fielding the ball in the center field. Can I make it to third base or not? At the end of the day, I mean, it's got to be a player like a Billy Hamilton that's going to break the streak. It's going to be like Billy Hamilton to, you know, break the all-time stolen bases streak, too. It's speed is important, but it's also got to be instinct and knowing when the best situation to run is. And unfortunately for Hamilton, and for the sake of our conversation, he's got a team right now where him stealing a stolen base is pretty much his only chance of, or the Reds' only chance of winning the game, you know, because they have to be that scrappy. So it's going to be interesting, but I think it can be done.
All right, I like it. We want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think on it, since we're split. Also, we've got some other cool stuff coming your way this week on the blog. We're bringing the blog back to life here. We're going to give you a look behind the scenes, behind the voices of the show, kind of let you get to know Jeff and Eric and I, give you a little background on us, because not all of you have been around since the beginning. Maybe you're new to the show, maybe you're new to us, whatever, we're happy to have you. We just want to give you a little background. Let us all connect. We want to hear for your stories as well. So keep an eye on the blog for that. Also, might be throwing something up there about why Cole Hamels is not garbage like Jeff thinks. You just never know what's going to pop up, but I think that's very possibly down the pipeline here.
Oh, wow.
I think we might have to delve
throwing
into some
bombs
of these other things. But I'm just saying, we want to hear from you if there's something you want to see covered on the show, if there's a streak out there, or something you want to see us talk about on the blog. Find us all over social media. Like I said, number1baseball.com is the hub. We will be back next week with you Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, as we are every week. So thank you so much for hanging in with us tonight. Thanks for sticking around for a little bonus show, and we'll see you guys next week.
Peace out.